You know, I don't know about y'all, but I think we really need to be concerned about the church today. Sometimes I understand really what the prophets preached and how they felt the way that they felt, because they were just preaching to deaf ears. There may have been those out in the congregation, but still it just was falling far from hitting the mark. And you know, maybe there's those that say, you know, I don't want to hear about revival. I don't want to hear about repentance. I don't want to hear about these things anymore. I'm glad that the prophets didn't stop just because the people didn't want to hear it. If you turn on, you know, it seems to be what God is leading those who love the Lord and want to preach His truth and His word into preaching today about what the church needs to do, the people of God need to do to change. And yet, it continually astounds me that we don't have as many as even of our own church member at night as we do in the day. And then on Wednesday night, well, we do have a little boost on Wednesday night, and I thank God for that. But where's the desire? Have you ever asked this? Where is the desire for God? It's very disheartening. It is. It's disheartening for trying to get the things done that God wants us to do. I mean, I believe what Romans chapter 12 through 14 and 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 say about the body. The body is one unit. And guess what? When one unit of that body is gone, it doesn't function the way that it's supposed to. You know? When we look around our church, we may say, well, we're just a small church. But you see, we're only seeing those that attend the church. There are more members of the church that never darken the doors of the church, except when someday they may need, or they will have to, because they've taken their last trip, you know? And it's sad that that's how long it takes for some to do, but doesn't it bother you that God's people can find reasons to do anything, go anywhere, be anywhere that they want to be, but yet it's a struggle? They're not feeling well. It's the weather's too hot. It's this, that, or the other thing, and they can't come to church. Well, you know, the only salvation of the church today is going to be a real revival. That's what it's going to take. Whether that can happen today, I don't know. We may have had our one surgence after 9-1-1 when God truly spoke and people saw, but now we're back to the same complacent attitude that we had before 9-1-1. In fact, maybe even worse. It reminded me of a passage, of a verse, actually, in Jeremiah chapter 6. And Jeremiah was preaching to the people of Judah. And it was preaching to them of the impending doom that was about to come upon them because of their stiff-necked, hard-hearted ways. These were people that experienced God, okay? This was a nation that was formed, that was worked into by the very hand of God. There was no excuse for them. Just as if that today there's no excuse for us. And you want to know why? Because we've experienced the hand of God, have we not? Now, come on. No, we may not have crossed the Red Sea. No, we may not have been sheltered by a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. But when Jesus came into my heart, He came in real. And I've seen His handiwork many, many, many times throughout my life. So He's just as real to me as He did when He expressed Himself in more dynamic ways to the people of Israel. Jeremiah is one of my favorite prophets because he wept and cried in his prayers for his people. And any pastor that loves their people continually loves and hurts because of the fact that the desire, not the desire to hear me, not the desire to just make an impression, to be in church, but a desire to seek God's face. You know? And in this one verse, it spoke myriads to me about what Jeremiah was saying about revival. And in the 16th verse, he says, "Thus says the Lord." Whenever that is said, it means we need to listen. "Thus saith the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." I don't know. That just rings so true to what seems to be in the heart of the church today. Now, there are five different things in this verse that spoke to me. The first thing in this verse that he says is he says, stand by the roads. When we stand, what are we doing? We're taking and we're in one position. We're not going right, left, forward, backward. We're standing. We're observing. You know, the problem today is Christians are not standing to listen to what God has to say to us. We're too busy. We're flittering around doing so many different things, thinking we've got this important job to do, we've got this thing to do. Let me tell you something. In God's Word, in my heart, the my biggest job is as a Christian serving Him. Not even as a pastor, but in my life serving Him. And you know what? I can't do it if I'm busy flittering around, worrying and concerning and being consumed by everything else around me. It's as it is with many people today. Have you ever talked to somebody that are looking you right straight in the face but don't hear a word you say? Well, that's what God must feel like when He's talking to us most of the time. Hey, hello McFly, I'm talking to you, you know? But we're just so busy. We're thinking 1,000 thoughts. We're doing 1,000 things. The Bible tells us to stand still. The Bible even says to wait upon the Lord. And He shall renew our strength. Amen? We get tired. We get burned out. We get complacent. We get, you know... I am as excited, possibly, what the election might mean to us and go in a different direction. But guess what? My bank, my bet is not on the elections. My foothold is still in the Lord. Okay? Because He makes all things happen, not us. But it might be just something that we can indicate, maybe the people have started worrying less about themselves and more about others. Maybe they're standing and listening to what's being said for a change. Think about that for a moment. Not just the rhetoric of politics, not just the rhetoric of promises that can't be kept, but maybe there's a tinge of people hearing what morality of a nation used to be. And might just spark in their heart that this is the answer, not the promises of government or politics. I think Jeremiah, with all my heart, is saying to the people of Israel, stand still. He also says to them, secondly, he says to them to see. He says, not only stand by thy roads, but he says, look. See what direction you're going in. You see, Judah was bent on the practice of sin in their nation. And he was saying, stand still. Listen to what God's saying. Listen to what I'm saying to you by God's word. And look at the direction you're going. You see, that's the one encouragement that I had, and I still have, and hope. I like to be an optimist, but I want my hope to be based on something real, not something that can fail. Amen? And the only hope that is real, and the one that is real, is Jesus Christ. And you see, he wanted Israel to say, look, you're going in the wrong direction. You're headed the wrong way. And we need to sit back and evaluate and say, look, let's look at our place. Let's look at our position. We can't and aren't just Christian by name and name alone. We're Christian by action. We're Christian by doing. Talk, I've always been told, is cheap. We can say a lot of things, but you know what it comes out in is what we do. That's why James wrote the book of James. He's saying, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We got a lot of people in church that are listening but not hearing. Because they're not hearing, they're not doing. To me, listening is just the art of being able to present an argument back. It's not an open heart. It's not a place to say, Lord God, I want to, I know where I'm headed. Now, what do I need to do to go that different direction? When Jesus Christ saved us, did he leave us going in the same direction? No, absolutely not. The first thing that happened in my life, he didn't dump down all of the things that convicted me immediately about my sin. I couldn't handle that. But the first thing I realized as a believer was that he was my master and I was to follow him. In other words, I was headed in a direction to hell. By his blood, he turned me 180 degrees and now I'm headed towards heaven. Amen. And because of that, it is not a wide road. You know, when I think about that passage, when Jesus described the road to hell and the road to heaven, that needs to concern some church people. Because, to be honest with you, we might say the rhetoric, but yet there's no proof in the pudding of what we're made up of what we do. And that needs to be a concern. Because Jesus Christ did not save us to leave us the same. He saved us to turn our lives around. It's been wrong, done wrong in the church for many years when I believe in the public profession of Christ. But the public profession of Christ is more than just a little sinner's prayer. Too many people have walked the aisle, said a sinner's prayer, been baptized, and believe that they're saved, and they're still walking in the pathway to hell. That's because the church, in my thinking, was too concerned about numbers than souls. And you know what? That should frighten us for our own church. Those that claim, those that believe, but yet they're not in, they're never anywhere to be found. Isn't the last place you would want to be away from is the family that you're a part of? It would be me. When I'm gone away, I find a church to go to. And I pray that you do too. They're not all friendly. They're not all welcoming. But you know what? I'm not there to be schmoozed. I'm there to hear the Word of God. That schmoozes me. That's what encourages me. So you know what? We need to see where we're headed and where we're going. We need to see where our church is. We need to see where are we going. But let's not pick and choose our own direction. Let's stand and listen to what God is saying to us. Well, the third thing in this passage that I see is he says, say. Say what? Ask for the ancient paths. What does that mean? It means simply go back to what you know is true. What is that is true? God's word. Go back. Look back. It's all recorded. Go back to the first five books of the Bible and find about where you were born, how you came about, and how God delivered you. Go back to that. But you see, just like them, we've become what I call progressive. And they were becoming progressive. What does that mean? They wanted to be like everybody else. Their first mistake was replacing the judges with a king. First mistake. Because why did they do that? Because they wanted to be like everybody else. Folks, I don't want our church to be like every other church. I don't want to be progressive. I want to hold on to the ancient paths, the Word of God, that which was been given. And the first principle of that Word is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we will not stray from that. I don't care what else that is tried to be added to that. It don't save you. Jesus Christ saved you. We can't stray from that. The progression of religion today, even in what used to be so evangelical in churches, and fundamental in principles, have gone so far off the deep end just because their monies are decreasing. We got to do something to bring up the tally. I'm here to tell you, the church wasn't made for the unsaved. Do you understand that? Church wasn't brought together to have an unsaved congregation. The church was brought together to encourage, to build up, to worship God, to prepare ourselves for war. That's why we have the church. If we can bring unsaved into the church, that's great, but they don't join the church unsaved. They get repented and redeemed before they become a member of the church. You see what I'm saying? Israel. Jeremiah is saying, go back to what you know is true. Look at the Word. You want to know why we look at the Word? Because it never fails. Amen? When is the last time a man or a woman or a person that you've known have always, always, never failed you? It's never happened. And you want to know why? Because we're in the flesh. We're weak. We let the wrong spirit sometimes influence us and impact our lives. There's only one that can take that. And that's Jesus Christ. He never has failed me. Oh, I failed Him. But He has never failed me. And I will never and I will always stand against those who say Jesus Christ was not there in my deepest, darkest hour. That's a lie. My Lord has been there through every deep, dark trial I've ever been in. That doesn't mean that I've recognized Him or called upon Him, but He's never left me nor forsaken me. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. That's right. So we need to say the things that Scripture says. We need to live in faith in Christ, and we need to express godly living from our lives. Well, that's the third thing. The next thing is, he talks about sojourning. A sojourner is someone who is taking a travel. What does he say about taking a travel? He says, after you ask for the ancient ways, he says, where the good way is, and walk in it. You know what? If you'll look at the Word of God and you are a believer and you are a Christian, just like no different than them, if they knew and really knew God and believed God, if you look at it, you're going to see that His ways are good. Amen? And when you recognize and come and fall on your knees before the fact and the truth that His ways are good, we repent, we need to then get picked up and walk in them. We can't walk like the world walks. We can't be recognized with the world. In other words, the world will cheat. The world will lie. The world will make excuses. But that's not what we're a part of, is it? We're a part of the truth of God's word. We stand on that. It doesn't mean that we make ourselves look better than everybody else. In fact, we should be more humble than everybody else. And in our humility, we give that glory to God. Amen. That's what we do. You see, are we walking in it? It breaks my heart to know that there's members of our church that are not walking in it. And you want to know why I know they're not walking in it? Because they're not taking opportunity to be here with God's people. That's why. When they could anyway be here. Oh. I'm not railing on them for a reason of just complaining. Because I know that one day in the future, when the hammer falls, and it will, they're going to be out there isolated and alone. And they're not going to know where to go. Because they have kept themselves from the people of God. And it's going to be so easy to be swayed to go to a different direction. Let's walk in it. Let's know what the worth and the word and the principles and the truth of God's word is. And let's do our absolute utter best to walk in that way. Let's sojourn. It's a traveler. It's a constant journey. Amen. I didn't just get saved all of a sudden. Hey, everything's hunky-dory. I look through rose-colored glasses. I never have to worry about a thing again, and I never have to do anything again. Man, Christians that got that idea, I don't know what word they're reading. But that's not in the Bible that I have. My Bible says that my walk, my journey as a Christian is an everyday walk. And the closer, the more I walk, the closer I get, the more I know, the better I walk. Amen? That's what God wants for us. And we literally get closer to that world than this world. We get less attached here. I had some brothers and sisters that just are so worried about leaving this place. Why? I mean, is that attachment, is your house and your things and your stuff more important than spending eternity pain-free in the presence of God? Man, we got some warped thinking if that's the case. I don't know about you, and I would say probably everybody in here is older than I, or most are older than I. So you would understand even better than I that, you know, the pains, the aches, the tiredness, you know, it gets to be a real drag. Is there anything worth on earth staying here other than it's God's desire that we do, and as long as we do, we walk in the way. Amen. That's it. We need two younger deacons. We do. It's the church's choice to examine the men of the body of this church. And Brother Roy read the qualifications to you this morning. And we need to truly be praying in prayer about it. We need our church membership and our families. We need them harassed. I mean, taken care of. You know? We need to let them know that they're missed. But we also need to let them know that they need to be here because it's part of what we do as God's people. So we're on a journey. And this journey is a lifetime journey for as long as we walk it. Then not only that, he tells us about safety. When we do that, we are in a safety net. Amen. Look at what he says. He says, you walk in it and find rest for your souls. Oh, now you got that, right? Didn't say rest for your bodies. Didn't say for protection for your bodies. You're never going to get sick. You're never going to get ill. He said, no, but you find rest for your souls. In other words, there's peace there. The peace that passes all understanding, as Scripture says. And when we walk the way that we walk, we will be confronted by evil. We will be confronted by the enemy and the enemy's people. The Bible tells us this. But in all of that, we're still going to find rest for our souls. Amen? And that doesn't mean just when we leave this place either. That means right here and now. Jeremiah wanted the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, to find rest. He wanted them to understand that God gives rest to His people. And when we're under His protection and His umbrella, there's no greater peace and rest than we can find than that. Regardless of what the world is doing around us. Regardless of what the world doing around us is, how it's affecting us. Our faith is not in the world system. Our faith is in the heavenly system. In the system God has already had in place from the beginning of time. The beginning of creation. It was there. That's the faith we needed. That's the rest that He promises us. And one day, I will have eternal rest. Just like you. It's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, above all things, it's something that we're going to glory in when it comes. Because we will one day close our eyes for just a twinkling. And we'll be ushered into glory forever. Oh, man. I like Billy Graham's book on angels. Because he talked about the angels that are there to usher people that are God's children. The minute that they close those eyes, they're never alone. You know what broke my heart? Is when my wife was passing, from the time on Saturday morning when I went in, she was very confused. She didn't know, lack of oxygen, even though she had on the CPAP machine giving her oxygen. Her oxygen was dropping and dropping and dropping, and was finally dropped down to 61. And I'd look her right in the eyes, and she didn't know who I was. That broke my heart, because I wanted her to know for that last brief moment. But even though she didn't recognize me there, I know that God had an angel there. I believe an angel there ready to usher her on home. And when she took that last breath, that angel, maybe even before she took the last breath, I don't believe that necessarily the body can hang on for a little bit. And I believe that God can take the soul already to be gone and the body just linger on and do its own thing for a little bit. But regardless, I know that God was there with her. And that gives me peace. But it broke my heart for me not to be able to talk to her and communicate with her and let her know that I was there. Just like I promised her I would be till the very end. So, you know, I believe in the safety that comes in the arms of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And then comes the stubbornness. Oh, yeah. Jeremiah couldn't leave this out because he knew exactly what the people of Israel would do. He says in the end there, he says, "But they said, we will not walk in it." In other words, Jeremiah, take it on down the road because it don't mean nothing to us. See that many times when I'm preaching. I can say that to you because you understand what I'm saying, but many times on the faces and in the hearts of people, they say, you know, I've given enough. I give enough. I come where I can. I live too far away. Whatever it may be. I learned something about that a long time ago. When we first moved to Tucson, we lived out on Bilby Road, west side near Valencia. And we went to Drexel Heights Baptist Church there when I was a youth. And we ended up leaving that place and going over to live off of Wilmot Road. Oh, there was lots of churches. There was 22nd Street, yada, yada, yada. But you know what? God had us established in Drexel Heights Baptist Church. We traveled every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights. And any other time those doors were open for whatever occasion, we went. And you know what? Distance didn't matter. Didn't matter. And I've taken that through with me my whole life. Because where God places me is where I want to be. Regardless of where I live, I'm going to be where He wants to be. If He wants to change me, then fine. He will change where I go. I don't go to church here because it's convenient. I don't pastor here because it's convenient. I pray that you don't come to church here just because it's convenient. Most of you I know drive a ways. But you understand what I'm saying. You understand that God puts us where He wants us to be so that we can be an effective tool and of use to Him where we are. You see, let us not be like the Israelites and say, you know what? We will not walk in it. Let's fall down on our knees and pray for our people. I know when I listen to some of them talk, the conviction that comes over their hearts by what they say. And some of you in our men's group know that as well in certain situations. We can't force anybody to come and be faithful. But I'll tell you what, we can make them miserable through prayer. We can. And that's my job. I'm going to make them miserable through prayer. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit hot dog in their tail, and they're not going to get any peace. So let's pray for our people. Let's not be like this. Let's understand the substance of what revival is. Let's take it out these doors and say, you know, it's been so good to be in the house of the Lord. You see, we need to start. God's going to start with the committed. God's going to start with those that are willing to say yes. Like I said this morning, those that are going to be available. That's where He's going to start. Folks, you're it. You're it for right now, so you better be available. Because He's bringing you, you're on board whether you like it or not. Let's take it. Let's run with it for the Lord. Amen.